the apocalypse. Okay? Revelation here, it tells us in verse 1, is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Okay? So the revelation is a book or that was written, or an account that was written by John, and it was to reveal Jesus Christ. Okay? We won't get into all the ins and outs of Revelation, but I just wanted to put you in the mind that it's about revealing Jesus Christ. And the reason I say that is because, again, if you remember, the purpose of us gathering together as the church is to worship and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why we gather together, is to worship Christ. Okay? And so here we see in the book of the Revelation, John is writing, and this writing that he is writing to is being sent out to churches, as we will soon see. But look, if you would, chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading again in verse 1 and read down. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, remember we talked about the church as the place of service. Whenever we come into the congregation, we come to serve the Lord Jesus Christ here. Okay? Doesn't mean that there isn't service that happens whenever we are in our everyday lives as far as testifying and witness and sharing the gospel. But the place of worship, the place of service that Christ has ordained is in the congregation when we meet together. And so he is writing this, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Boy, the getting off on the tangent is really pulling at me, because there's a lot to say about this and eschatology and wrong eschatology today, but I'm going to restrain myself. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Okay, so here we see that the term ecclesia is found in verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So John uses the plural form of ecclesia. So he's writing to specific churches, but there are more than one church in Asia. And as we're fixing to see, they are specific churches in Asia. They have names. Church in Ephesus, the church in Philadelphia, the church in Thyatira, the church in Laodicea. Okay? We see that they are specific churches. Now, if this book was written to the universal invisible something, he didn't need to say that to the churches which are in Asia. He could have just said to the church. John, to the church, grace be unto you. I mean, are we not reading this? Sovereign Grace Baptist Church is the Church of Jesus Christ here in Joplin, right? This is for us to read too, right? He writes these things for us too. But who is this letter specifically made to? Remember, we've said this a lot in the years that I've been here, that whenever we come to interpret the Scriptures, to read the Bible, and to apply a proper interpretation to the Scriptures, one of the first things we do is we have to look and see the context, right? And in that context, we also find the historical setting. Who was this intended to? These letters were written to actual churches. So before it was ever put into the Bible for all the people of God to have a consumption of, It was specifically letters written to specific churches for a specific reason at a specific time. Okay? And so we have to interpret these scriptures in light of the fact that something was at hand, right? The times are at hand. And he is writing and signifying. That also tells us how we ought to interpret Revelation, because the things that are written in these letters are signified. Not wooden literal, but signified. Okay, there's not going to be big giant locusts out there. There's not going to be, you know, a rider on a pale horse that's coming on a real pale horse that's a pale rider. Okay? These things are signified. So we have to understand them within their historical context. This is letters that was written to certain churches to tell them certain things. So don't apply our modern day understanding. Don't apply, oh, well, this is written, well, it's here in the Bible for every Christian to read. So it must, the word church must mean universal and visible. No. And if you remember, going all the way back to Acts, or actually the Gospels, if you remember, church was instituted to be the place where every, not just some, but where every person who was made a disciple and baptized was to be added to. Right? Was to be brought back and taught all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. That was the way that Christ ordained the church. Preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them, bring them back and add them to the church, the gathered assembly, and teach them all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. What I've commanded you. That was the model. That was the form. That was the intent for Christ. And so it's only because of man and his disobedience, man and his watering down, man and his errors, that over the course of time, that has not been the case. And where does that fault lie? It lies at the churches who don't preach and insist on those things. Whenever you go out and you talk and you make disciples, what should you do? Don't tell them go to the church of your choice. Well, go worship God, serve the Lord, be warmed and well filled, see you later. Now, what do you ought to do? Hey, show them in the Bible, take them in the Bible, say, hey, we're glad that you trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're believing on Him. But look, the Scriptures here says now what you must do is you need to be baptized. And baptism is done at the church. And then you're supposed to be with the church and meet with the church and assemble with them on a regular basis and not forsake that assembly, so that you might be taught, so that you might encourage, so that you might edify, that you might partake of the ordinances. See, we need to take them and be showing them these things. And listen, I'm telling you, and especially as a pastor, I can tell you this for a fact, that don't sit well with people. Matter of fact, you'd lose a lot of people whenever you start taking them to the Scripture and saying, hey, you need to be baptized. Your baptism wasn't a valid baptism. Why? Because you were baptized in a false church under a false gospel. It doesn't sit well whenever you tell them, sorry, you can't have the Lord's Supper until you're baptized, because baptism has to be there before the Lord's Supper. Or whenever you tell them that, hey, you know, whenever you go to church, you are to, you know, be a part of that assembly. They don't like to hear those kind of things. And so a lot of times people leave because they don't want to be a part of that. And so now we have today people that despise the church of Jesus Christ, as the Corinthians did. You know, they didn't have any discernment about what the body was about. They didn't have any discernment about what the church was instituted for. And so we have these errors that pop up. But if we go back to how it was formed, that was the understanding. And so when we look at the revelation and we see here to the churches, plural, which are in Asia, So the term ecclesia here is speaking of individual churches. Look, if you would, verse 11. Jesus here speaking says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. So not only does he use the word plural, churches, in Asia, but he names them out. They were actual churches, right? So the term ecclesia here doesn't refer to universal invisible or universal visible. It refers to actual specific congregations. Move down to verse 20, if you would. Actually, move up to verse 17, and let's read down to verse 20. It says, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Now, who does that speak of? It's talking about Jesus, right? So Jesus is talking to John at this point. He says, I am he that liveth, and I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which are, or which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. Now, this is what we talked about this last week, and some of the things that I mentioned about some stuff last week. But if you go back in the beginning of chapter 1, we find that this was talked about. It's in verse 12. It says, and this is right after he said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, write in a book to the seven churches which are in Asia, and he named them out. Verse 12, he said, And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Remember, he sent and signified it by an angel. Okay? So the things that John is seeing, he's seeing signified to him in signs, symbols, okay? Metaphors. So let's not get carried away with some of these things. So John is supposed to write a letter to the seven churches in Asia of the things that Christ is about to reveal about himself to John so that those churches might know the things about the Lord Jesus Christ and what's going on, about what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen. Ain't that what he just said? Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Okay? And I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Okay, we won't go down any further, but in verse 16, we'll jump to that. He said, And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. And so that brings us to where we are now, right? So John is writing to seven churches, and we just seen their specific congregations. And now he's talking about the mystery of the stars and the candlesticks that John saw. In verse 20, he describes it. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So Jesus here interprets the vision or the signifying that John saw so he would understand what's what. That the churches are those seven candlesticks that he's among. Okay? And the stars that's in his right hand are the angels of the seven churches. This, we talked about this last week for those that wasn't here. Who are the angels? Are the stars? Are the angels? That's right. It's the pastors. It's the pastors of the seven churches. Okay? So again, we're not talking about a universal church. Some people say, well, seven means complete. That's the whole church. Okay, he says churches, not church. He didn't say the seven church. He said the seven churches. Okay? He even named those churches. So there's specific congregations that this was to be written to. And whenever John saw those seven churches signified, he saw seven stars in the hands of Christ, and he saw Christ standing among seven candlesticks. And Christ said, this is what this means. Those stars that you saw in that signification in my hand, those were the seven angels or messengers to the seven churches, which were the candlesticks. So the churches have pastors who are the messengers of Christ. And the letters that are being sent are to be sent to who? To the pastor, for the pastor to inform and to read before the church. Now there's a lot of things that we can talk about here that will deal with a lot of discussion about people that are wrought about organized church, okay? But brethren, you can't deny in the reading of Scripture that whenever the church comes together, that Christ has made it an orderly thing. He has put in it to be done in order. Things are not to be done out of chaos, but in order. And he has set an overseer, and that word overseer means one who is to keep out the chaos, to keep in order the things that is to be done. Okay, so that's one of the things that a pastor does, is he oversees, and he does that by keeping over the people order, making sure that we're doing things in an orderly fashion, making sure that we're doing the things that have been prescribed by Christ. Okay? And so the pastor here was the one who was the messenger to the church. I know a lot of people don't even like that. Whenever they start looking at organized church, they don't like that. They want to think that everybody is the voice to the church. Well, you mean you tell me that you're better than I am? No, I don't think I'm better than anybody else, but that's the role that Christ has called me to. That's the role that I've been given the gift to work. And so I'm no better than anybody else, but I'm just at the place and doing the work and the call and the ministry and the gift that God has given me to do. And that is to be the pastor, preacher, teacher of the local congregation. Don't mean I'm better than you. Don't mean I'm a higher rank than you. Don't mean anything. It means that is the role that Christ has given me. But if you'll notice here that Christ did give this to the pastor. Why? Because that's who he has put in the place to be the minister of God's word to the people. And I'm not meaning that that's a hierarchy. I'm not trying to say this is like the Catholic Pope or anything like that. We're not making out to be popes. Listen, everything that we do is being held accountable by God, by the people, by the word of God. Hey, we're just as susceptible to error. If you guys see that I'm saying something contrary to Scripture, you'd come to me. And I'm not to say, how dare you? Who are you to tell me? I'm the preacher, by the way. You don't have the right to say. And listen, that happens a lot of places. We've had several people that's come to our church before that have said that they've been turned out of churches because they've questioned the pastor. Listen, I've been questioned here a lot of times, you know. And sometimes, and this is a side note, and I don't mean to, again, to go off on a rant, but sometimes a lot of people mistake confidence in what one believes for arrogance and pride. See, one can be confident in what they believe, or assured in what they believe, and not be prideful. Now, there can be some who are prideful, think because they know a lot, that then there's something above somebody else. But somebody can be confident in what they know and understand, and because they're confident in that does not mean they're necessarily prideful. So let's not, you know, throw everybody out just because of that. Okay? Now, the ecclesia here. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven congregations or ecclesias, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven congregations or ecclesia. And so we see these are local things, and each one of them had a pastor. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church. Now here's the letters. He's starting to write these letters. Okay? Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Now, if we didn't read Jesus' description there, we wouldn't know what he's talking about. We'd think, again, that there's some invisible angel that's out there that's fixing to go deliver this letter to the church in Ephesus. But that's not it. It's to the messenger, which was the pastor of the church. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Okay, so again, ecclesia here is used to speak of a particular congregation, and that was the one in Ephesus. Look at verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Okay, so here he uses the word ecclesia in its plural. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. So this letter that was written to the church in Ephesus, specific congregation, is also to be applied unto all churches. See that? So John, or Christ, is telling John to let Ephesus know, this is for you, Ephesus, but anyone who has an ear to hear, let him know, this is also for anybody in any of the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, here's another thing I want to draw out of this. Where is the instruction? Where is the command? Where is the admonition? Where is the speaking directed to? It's directed to the churches, right? It's not directed to some mission board, not some convention board. It's not directed to some parachurch organization. It's not directed to an individual, for an individual. It's given to who? The church. See, yes, did the letter go to the pastor? Yes, but the Spirit, through that, is speaking to the church. And any that are the churches of Jesus Christ. But you see here that the word ecclesia is not used in a universal, invisible way. It's used in a local, visible way. To the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Look at verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, write these things. Saith the first, and these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Okay, so now we see ecclesia is used here, but it's used again as a specific congregation, a local visible assembly. Look down at verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again, we see the same thing as we've seen back up in verse 7. Okay. The word ecclesia is speaking of specific congregations in the plural. Look at verse 12. Under the angel of the church of
Pergamos. Okay? No universal invisible there. It is a local, specific congregation. Look down at verse 17. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. Once again, local, visible assemblies. Look at verse 18. Unto the church in Thyatira, specific local congregation. Verse 23. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Every one of you churches unto your works. But look, the term ecclesia is referring to plural churches, not a universal body, one body. It's not referring to one body that is universal and invisible. Look down at verse 29. He that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis. Local, visible, specific church. Look at verse 6. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again, specific congregations, not a universal, invisible, singular, but a plurality of churches, congregations. Chapter 3, verse 7. Unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Again, another specific local congregation. Look at verse 13. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. Again, ecclesia, talking about specific congregations. Look at verse 14. Unto the church of the Laodiceans. Specific church, individual congregation. Look at verse 22. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. Plural congregations. And the last one is in Revelation chapter 22. And look, if you would,
at verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Where is the testimony or the testifying of the things of Jesus Christ and about his work? This is this whole thing, the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do, what has been, what is, and what is to come about Jesus Christ. You know where they are testified to? They are testified in the churches. You don't think it's important to be in church, to be a part of a church, to be a member of a local New Testament church of Jesus Christ? It is extremely important. That is where Christ is directing his testimony and has given gifts to teach that testimony and has given people with gifts to bear witness of that testimony in their lives through service and edification and encouragement. Brethren, it's very important. But here we find ourselves in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, 115 verses, every place where the term church is found,
in the New Testament scriptures, in God's Word, and we didn't find one place where the word church was used in a universal, invisible, encompassing all the elect of God as one group. It was speaking of individual congregations called out of the world and gathered together for the purpose of overseeing the things of the kingdom of God, in which God has placed each member specifically. And each member is called on to exercise as each member supplies. And that body is edified, that body is energized, is encouraged, built up by each member doing its part. Now, some may be here every week, but are we doing our part? Are we being what we are called to do? Are we being servants one to another? See, just because you come to the body don't mean you're being a part of the body. Okay? So we have that to talk about as well for further times. But I don't know about you, brethren, but after 115, depending on the translation of assembly, 118 times, the word church didn't find universal and visible anywhere. To me, that's overwhelming. To me, that's saying that God is saying something about what the church is, and that we have allowed theologians and seminaries and theological establishments, confessions of faith, smart men and preachers of old shape our understanding of things. And that has become so ingrained in us that whenever we see the truth, and listen, even today, 115 to 118 scriptures read within their context, shown within their context, there are going to still be some that are watching, some that are listening, that are going to be saying, well, that just can't be true. You're saying that I'm not part of the church. You're saying that there's some that aren't part of the church that are elected of God, and you're not part of the church. Yes, that's what we're saying. That is what we're saying. That there can be some who are elect of God, but that are not part of the church. But the only reason that these people have a problem with that and get upset or get mad or get frustrated or offended at that is because they come at the word church with the wrong understanding of what the church is. They think church is this elect body of God. And I say body, the word body isn't used for this, okay? They think this is what church is. And because they come with the wrong presupposition, they get offended whenever you teach the correct truth. But see, if they realize that when we say that you're not part of the church, if you're not in a local New Testament church, we're not saying you're lost. We're saying you're not part of the church. Go get in the church. Find where the word of God is being preached, where the gospel is being preached, where the ordinances are being kept up, where the New Testament church is gathered, and where they are gathered, get in there and be a part of that and to serve. That's where the service of God is. And so, whenever we say that, we don't mean, hey, you're not a Christian, you're not elect, you're not quickened, you're not, you know, that's not what we're saying. I'm not saying that at all. This is what we're saying. We've seen that in Acts. When those people, they were pricked in their heart and they believed. And then they were baptized. But guess what? They still weren't in the church yet. They believed and were baptized, but not part of the church. Those who believed and were baptized were then added to the church. See, believing and being baptized has to take place before you're even part of the church. And if you mean that to be this, Then we've got salvation wrong. We're preaching the gospel wrong. Gospel is now about believing and baptism. Now you can see where the Campbellites veered off way back when they believed that it's all about believing and being baptized. Okay, any questions? The evidence is pretty overwhelming, isn't it? It was overwhelming to me. When some of the brothers came and said, I tell you what, you have your definition of church, but you show me in God's word and you pull up every place where that term is used and you show me within its context and be honest with the context. If you be honest with the context and look at that, you show me where that's located, a universal invisible church, and come back to me. And brethren, listen, I searched, and couldn't find it. I mean, it was so overwhelming. And, I told my Uncle Tom one time, I said, can it not be, just the conglomeration of everybody, or the conglomeration of all the churches together makes up the universal invisible church? And he said, well, just, whenever you find it, come and show it to me. So, if it's there, I'll believe it. And, man, it wasn't there. It wasn't there. I couldn't find it. So, anyway, for those who are watching or listening, if you go on our open Facebook page, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Joplin, I have the study posted there. You can download that, which is what I've printed off for the folks here. You can print that. This is every verse in the scriptures that have that word ecclesia there. I also have, we passed out this morning before the broadcast started, quotes that I did early on in the study on ecclesia and the etymology. So we see historically how people understood that. And these were all the quotes that I gathered together from various sources. But that I have yet to put on, but I will put that on. And then we also put on there the comments of the 1647 Baptist Confession of Faith and how they understood the term ecclesia or church, and that it was a local congregation. And anyway, some comments that was made of that. Again, both of those are not why we believe what we believe. You know why we believe what we believe? Those 118 verses that we just went through. That's why we believe what we believe. Not because Dr. So-and-so or etymology so-and-so said this, and not because the 1644 Baptist said that. They are only attesting to the truth of what God's Word says. So anyway, those will be up there, and you can download those for your own study and your own time. Just about made a mess. And so anyway, we will continue in our study of the ecclesia, the Lord's ecclesia, and we're going to move into some other areas now that we've established what the term means, and by every definition found in the scriptures, it's a local visible assembly. Now we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about, instead of the nature of the church, we're going to talk about the things such as like the ordinances, the offices of the church. We're going to talk about the service of the church, the ministry of the church. We're going to talk about those things. And so we have several weeks ahead of us in this study, and I hope it's edifying to you. And I know for some, these kinds of messages and series isn't their cup of tea, you know. A lot of people, they want to hear the gospel over and over and over again. And I do too. I love to hear that. A lot of times topical stuff, kind of gets a little old, but I want to hear the gospel. But we need to do this. The Bible tells us to preach the whole counsel of God, right? I'm to teach you all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. That's what I'm accountable to do. And so part of that is teaching you what the Bible says about the church and every aspect of it. So how are we to know how to function as the church if we don't know what God's word says about it? So that's why we do that. And so we will continue in our study of this. For those that are listening, I hope you continue with us and see the importance of the Lord's church. All right. Again, anybody got anything? All right, let's bow.
Have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father,